Your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's where we're going to be tonight. Jehoshaphat's battle plan. That's it. That would have been, that's perfect with the battle whatever of the Republic. All right. Fits in perfectly. They're really hard words. I don't know if you found singing that battle song, there's a lot of words to spit out there in a rush, right? I don't know if you were struggling, but I was. Thankfully, the chorus was slow. You just glory, glory. You know, you can slow down with that one. Feel like you get some words. Anyway, let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the day. And Lord, we thank you that we're able to come out tonight and hear your word. We ask that it will be your word that ministers to our soul. We pray that the Spirit will be the one who illuminates and, Lord, teaches. And we certainly do pray that in all this, your name will be exalted. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Something I would like to remind you, because we often forget, is the reality is when you became a child of God, you automatically got a lot of enemies. We don't like to think of that, but that is a reality. And from the very moment that we trusted Christ as our Savior, we became the direct opponents of Satan and the myriad of demonic forces that are under him and are influenced by him. And even though they hate all of mankind, the demonic beings and so on, they have an intense hatred towards the children of God because they know that that's who God loves the most. And they will seek to hurt us, bring our demise, and ultimately cause us to turn on the Lord himself. And we discovered that, or you only have to read through the book of Job to discover that. And learn from his life that Satan and his cohorts, if permitted, they will use anything possible to bring that to pass. They'll use disasters, they'll use sickness, they will use friendships, associates, they will use anything in order to attack the children of God and hopefully bring them to the point where they will reject God and curse him. And these attacks shouldn't surprise us. Now, Peter tells us, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are here to try us. You know, Paul says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And so, just because we're saved, let's remember that we don't get this ushering in of being able to live in lollipop land as much as we would like to. Our enemy, Satan, and those that are under his influence want to bring us down to the point where we will curse God. And so when you are feeling attacked, maybe at work for making a stand for Christ, maybe amongst your family if they are not saved, friends, it doesn't matter where, or troubles come, you need to have what I would call a battle plan. What are you going to do in these times? And the wisest thing to do is to work out what you're going to do when these troublesome times come prior to them coming rather than trying to work it out when you're in the midst of it. It's a little bit like having a fire plan. They tell us to have a fire plan. And the concept, not that I have one, but the concept is you work out what you will do if there's a fire. And then you tell everyone what to do, and you may even practice it as well, so that when there is a fire, you know automatically what to do. Others, they don't have a plan. A fire comes, and they're at a loss to know what to do, and that's when problems usually strike, when there's a fire. And that applies to us as well. It's good to have a plan in place when our enemy attacks us, regardless of which way he tries. And so when those promised attacks do come, we're ready. And tonight, what I would like to do, as I was looking through Jehoshaphat, we see here that he had an attack from an enemy. And I just love his response to it. And that's what I want us to consider this evening. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, chapter 20, I should say, let's read verses 1 and 2 first. It says, "And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and beyond they be of Hazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi." And so Jehoshaphat is confronted by this huge army. Now let's remember that he was a man of God, and he was a king that loved the Lord. He was a godly man who honored and served Jehovah himself. And you know, this is the very best way to prepare yourself for any troubles that come into your life. And that is, make sure that you're walking with the Lord and you love him with all your heart. You know, too many of us use the easy time in life to get slack. And we so often drift off and we don't take the times when we have a healthy body, a healthy mind, we have a healthy family, we don't have all the stresses of what may be happening in the future, and we don't take those times to plow into the Word of God and to know the Word of God and to learn about your God and to be strong in the Lord in these times. Too often you drift and take things easy. The best thing to do is to seek the Lord with all your heart. Don't use God like a fireman. You know, I don't talk to any firemen. Don't go around, say hello to them and thanks. You know, appreciate what you do. I have nothing to do with firemen, but I tell you what, if I've got a fire, I'm going to ring them and I would expect them to come very quickly. And that's sadly how often that we treat our Lord and Savior. We don't spend much time with him. We don't think about him much. But I tell you, when troubles come, we expect him to be right there for us. The best preparation is to love the Lord. At least that way you know that the troubles that do come into your life aren't because God is trying to get your attention. You know, many of the times we'll read stories with the Israelites and there were nations come up against them, and the reason why they came up against them was God was sending them to get their attention because they had been forsaking him. And so the ones that came up against them were of the Lord. They were proud and forsaken the Lord, and he needed them to come back. And the Lord does the exact same thing with us as well. We're told that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And those who are refusing to submit to God and they're stubbornly going their own way, God will often bring them down or bring circumstances into their life to humble them to get their attention. He makes it his responsibility to do that. And I am afraid that there are many times that believers think, you know, the devil's giving me a hard time at the moment, when the reality is it's God trying to get their attention. And God is the one that is bringing these things into their life because there is pride or there's bitterness or there's an unforgiving spirit or something, and God is trying to bring them around to that point. And they can pray as much as they want that God will take these things away, but he's not, because he is the one that's doing these things and he won't relent until you humble yourself. And so it's good to make sure that you're not doing the wrong thing and you're walking with the Lord, so when troubles do come, it's not God doing it, but you know that it is your enemy. And for Jehoshaphat, he loved the Lord. We saw a little bit about that this morning. This wasn't chastisement from God. This was Satan's doing, and he had God on his side. And that's the best place to start whenever something comes into your life. But then we read in verse 3 this, "And Jehoshaphat feared." So I want you to stop and consider that. A huge nation, or a band of nations, come up. He knows they want him. And he hears about it, and his first response is fear. That shows me that he is a normal human being, right? Right? He didn't just brush it away. This was a scary thing to understand what was at stake here. He would have feared for his own life. He would have feared for the life of his kingdom and the people in it as well. And this is the first thing that usually comes when we are attacked by the evil one. If we're abused at work, treated unfairly, family attack us, sickness comes, something goes wrong, we fear. And fear is not a bad thing. Fear is an inbuilt mechanism that God has given to help us to act in certain ways to protect ourselves. There's nothing to be ashamed of when something happens and you have those butterflies and those feelings of fear that come over you at first. That is there to motivate us to do certain things. If you're driving along and a semi-trailer you discover is on your side of the road, well, you know, fear should come into your being and that should send some responses to your body to move out of the way. If you're not moving out of the way, there's a problem, okay? That's how it's meant to work. And so fear is a good thing when it's working properly and it produces the correct actions. It's when fear produces the wrong response that there is a problem with it. You know, if Jehoshaphat heard of that kingdom, those nations coming up, and the feeling of fear struck him, and so he sent his servants and said, I want you to go down to Pharaoh and ask him for help. That would have been a very bad response to fear. If he had said, I want you to gather all the wizards of the nation around, I want them for help. A really bad response to fear. If he went into his palace and he started to cry and get upset with God, why are you allowing these things to happen to me, God? And he accused God. That would have been a bad response as well. But his fear produced the right response. We read there in verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And so here we see that Jehoshaphat, in his moment of fear, when the enemy is attacking, he went to the Lord and sought help from him. Not Egypt, not the wizards, not from somebody else. He didn't just boldly think that he could handle it in his own strength. No, he went and he pronounced that we need to fast and humble ourselves in the sight of God, and we need God's help here. And brethren, that's the actions that fear should produce. When we're afraid, it should produce actions where we go to God. When our fears produce anger, or frustration, or bitterness, or anger towards God, it becomes a sin. They're the sort of things that Satan is looking for. But when our fear makes us flee to our Savior, it causes the correct actions. I wonder, are there things that happening in your life at the moment that bring an element of fear? Unknowns? Unknowns can bring fears, the what ifs. What if this happens? What if these things go this direction? The fear of what you might have to face tomorrow with maybe some people at work or whatever it may be. Fears. How is it causing you to respond? Are you responding in a manner that God intends it to do? And that is, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He wants you to go to him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Right? Learn about me. Learn who you're coming to. Learn what I'm able to do. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. There is something special when you know you have not just that you can go to the Lord, you know who you're going to. And so it's just not the going, it's the knowledge of who you're going to that can bring that rest in those times of fear. And this is what Jehoshaphat did. Now, when I say it's a battle plan, it's probably a really bad title for the message. What we see is that he went to the house of God and he prayed. He prayed knowing that the enemy was coming to want to kill him. He went into the holy, or not to, we know that God dwelled in the Holy of Holies, and that's where he went to pray. Just like what we're able to do when fear comes, we can boldly go to the throne of God and bring our requests. In fact, God encourages us to. He tells us to. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so when the enemy attacks, in whatever fashion it may be, we need to go to our God and boldly seek his help. And it's in Jehoshaphat's prayer that you see that he had a healthy understanding of his God. And I'm convinced this is why he had the boldness to be able to face this enemy and be the king that he was. And he knew he didn't need to run off to Egypt or seek help from some other strange ways. He understood who his God was, what he was like, and he knew that was the best person to go to. He wasn't ignorant of the one he served. What I want to do is just, we're not actually going to look at the battle tonight. All I can say is that he wins, all right? You can go home and read about the battle. But I want to look at the prayer that he prayed to God. This is a man who knew who his God was and what he was like. And his confidence was in the knowledge of this. You know how Jesus, as I read there, Jesus said, "Learn of me and you will have that rest." Jesus says, "I want you to understand who I am." And when you have that knowledge of who I am, that's where you're going to find that rest. And here we see that this man Jehoshaphat must have studied the scriptures or learnt from the priests who the God that his father had followed as well and who he chose to follow. Have a look there in verse 6. We'll pull it up there. Let me read just verse 5. "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And this is what he said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven?'" That's the first thing. He knew that he wasn't worshipping idols. Could you imagine how scary it would be if your idol was, you went and got a tree and you cut it out and then you laced it with gold and you put it somewhere and that's the one you go to pray to? I think that would be a scary thing, right? I made you, and now I'm coming for help. That's what other nations had to do. But he understood that he was going to the God of heaven. But then he acknowledges his supremacy. It says there, "And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?" That is a wonderful understanding that Jehoshaphat had, that he knew that his God, Jehovah, was king and ruler over all nations. He was the king of the kings. He was the ruler over all. He understood the supremacy of Jehovah himself. And then he acknowledges his omnipotence. "And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" And so he's just reminding God, or he's, I don't think God needs reminding, but he's going through and acknowledging who his God is. "That in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand." And so Jehoshaphat understood that he was going to Jehovah, the all-powerful one, the one that no one could stand against, not even all these kingdoms. No wonder he had confidence in the one he went to. But then we see here in verse 7, he understood the ownership that God had over him. Art not thou our God? So he not only understood that Jehovah was the true God of heaven, that he was the one who rules over all kings, that he is the one that has all power, but he also understood that he was his God. And that makes all the difference. It's one thing to know that Jehovah God is all powerful and the one that rules over, but that's a scary thing if he's not your God. But when he is your God, that brings a lot of peace and comfort, knowing that about Jehovah. And then he also acknowledges his God's faithfulness. As he goes on, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? So he knows how faithful Jehovah has been to his people over the years. That he is the one that gave them the land. He is the one that drove out the people. It is Jehovah God, the one that he's going to, that did all this for his people. He has helped in the past. He has given victory in the past. He has proven his faithfulness. You know, that is something really important. As a believer, don't forget when God does something good for you and shows his faithfulness. Put that, write it down if you need to write it down. Put it in the memory bank. You need to remember that the God that you serve is a faithful God who answers prayer and has been good to you in the past. And Jehoshaphat did that, but he also acknowledged how God had made promises to his people as well. He says there in verse 8, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. You know, that was a promise that God made to his people. God said, if you come, when people come up against you, you come to my house and you acknowledge that you need my help and you cry for help, he says, I will hear and help. He's reminding God of the promises he has made. And so he was a man who knew his God. And this knowledge, no doubt, was the reason why he didn't go anywhere else but Jehovah. Why would you need to go anywhere else when you had Jehovah God as your God? But for us tonight, I want us to not miss the blessing and the fact that the one that he went to really was Jesus himself. And that's something that can easily be missed when you read the wonderful stories in the Old Testament. The one that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, really is the Jehovah that Jehoshaphat trusted in. These same things that Jehoshaphat acknowledged about Jehovah have been confirmed in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And that's the exciting thing for us. When we go to him in our time of help, we should acknowledge in our mind, and I suspect it's even good to acknowledge in our prayers as well, that when we go to Jesus, we acknowledge that he is the true and only God. Where in the beginning was the Word was with God and was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Acknowledge that, Lord Jesus, I come to you as the King of heaven. And we know that it is confirmed that he has supremacy. We're told that he is the King of kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the one that rules over all. And we know that He has the power. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." We don't need anybody else but Him. And I trust you can claim the ownership that He is your God and Savior. We're told that when we receive Christ as Savior, we are His body. He says lots of things about us. We are His bride. He's the one that loves us. We're His children. We can acknowledge that He owns us. And we own Him. And we acknowledge His faithfulness, where He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And then the promises, all of the promises that Jesus has made us, that He'll give us rest, He'll provide all our needs. He won't allow a temptation to come upon us that is beyond us, that we can do all things through Him, and the list can go on. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that's why we can come boldly to the throne and find mercy and grace to help in time of need, because of the promises and the person that we are going to in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be prepared, if you aren't struggling at the moment, can I encourage you to do what Jesus said, learn of me? Dwell on these concepts of who Jesus really is. If you are going through some trials and there is fear, can I encourage you to learn of Christ as He says, so that when you go to the Lord Jesus for help, you can go to Him and say, "Lord Jesus, I know that You are the God of heaven, the one who rules over all, the King of kings, and through You I can do all things. I know You love me. I know You've been faithful. I know You've promised You will be faithful, and I come and I seek Your power to help me now." See, that's when the confidence comes, where we can rest in not just what we said when we prayed to God, but we can rest in the knowledge of who we said it to. Can you see there's a big difference? You know, if a little child came up and they were having a problem with another little child, and they came up and asked me for help, I should be able to help them. I should be stronger than the other little child, all right? I should be able to. But the comfort comes when they know they have that understanding that I am able to help, and I do want to help. And so they can come and ask for help, but they still might stay scared, because I don't know if Pastor Mitchell's capable of helping me with this one. And they don't have comfort, even though I probably will still help them. But I tell you, they will feel comforted when they acknowledge or know that He can help and He will help. And that's what we have in the Lord. And this is what Jehoshaphat did. You know, if you look in verse 15, this is a prophet came, and in verse 15 he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." God was going to fight for them. And in verse 24, we read this, "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." God gave them the victory. How did He do that? You can go home and read about it if you want. But God gave them the victory. And can I encourage you, when fear strikes, and it strikes us all, do what Jesus says and learn of Him. And He is the one that will give you rest. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that we can come as our loving Heavenly Father. Thank you that we have our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we have the one to come to. And Lord, we know that you use various circumstance and people to help us. Let us not be ignorant of that. Yet, Lord, I pray that our trust will always and ultimately be in you. Let us go to you and seek your face, knowing who you are. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.